Recorded live in the Phantasmo Lounge, high atop the Scott Carey Building in beautiful Midtown Portsmouth, Virginia, it's Phantasmo After Dark with your host, Rob Floyd, and co-host, Phyllis Floyd. Tonight's topic, the Monolith Monsters. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the old podcast. Hey, Phyllis.
What's up, Rob?
Tonight, we're talking about the Monolith Monsters. One of my favorite 1950s sci-fi movies, really underrated and not often seen. But before we get into that, hey, we're actually showing this on August 26th, I believe it is, at Phantasmo Cult Cinema Explosion over in Chesapeake at the Central Library, which we do every other month, double feature cult movie night there. And this month we're showing Monolith Monsters and The Beast Within. It'll be a good double feature. It's always free. Come check it out and hang out with us and watch some cool movies if you're in the area. And coming up on the 19th at the Narrow, I'll be hosting Flick It Fridays. We're showing Raising Arizona. So if you haven't seen that on the big screen, come on down, check it out. There'll be door prizes and trivia contest prizes, and they'll be serving beer. And you can see Raising Arizona on the big screen. So, but you got to pay for that one. That one's not free. What else is coming up? Events in the area here. Oh, Monsterfest.
Monsterfest.
Duh. Monsterfest is coming up in October. October 1st, which is our one-day kind of mini horror con that we've been hosting for the last 13 years over in Chesapeake at the library where we do Phantasmo. And it's going to be cool. Dr. Madblood's going to be there. The Cemetery Boys are going to be playing. 60 tables, over 60 tables, really, of vendors. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And artists and authors and guests. Oh, yeah. It's all kind of stuff.
And it's free. So come on out and check that out, too. So also, on the day after Flick It Fridays, Saturday the 20th, at Retro Daddio in Williamsburg, Virginia, we'll be setting up, actually selling cool stuff, vintage stuff and things that I've made and all kinds of cool stuff at the H.P. Lovecraft birthday celebration. Mm-hmm. Retro Daddio in Williamsburg, Virginia is a cool, eclectic kind of shop. Go check it out.
Indeed, I believe that there will be other vendors as well as some food and fun things going on.
Yeah, so if you like Lovecraft, hey, that's a free event to come check out too. But hey, back to our topic tonight, the Monolith Monsters. This is one not a lot of people have really seen. I remember the first time I saw it was on Dr. Madblood, like many a classic horror film, my first time seeing it. And when I was a kid, you know, I really didn't care for it that much because it didn't have Frankenstein or the Wolfman or Godzilla or Rodan or Dracula or any, you know, big name monsters. And these aren't really monsters. But as an adult, it's a much creepier film to me than ever as I was as a kid because there aren't monsters. It's not living beings. It's pretty much inanimate objects are going to kill you.
Yeah, it's not like with a werewolf or a monster that's coming after you. You feel like you can, you know, maybe you can reason with it, or maybe you can fight it, or maybe you can find a way to kill it or whatever. This is just these giant things. They're just growing. They're growing and falling and breaking and growing some more, and they're going to take over everything because they're just taking up that much space.
Yeah, well, basically what the plot is this meteor comes to Earth, crashes, and breaks into a bunch of pieces. And through a series, a geologist finds a piece of it, takes it back to his lab. It looks like black glass, kind of, is what it looks like. And he doesn't know what it is. He sets it down. Through the course of the night, I think he leaves his windows open, rain gets in, the water gets on it somehow, and it grows. This rock grows and takes over his lab. He's touched it, and slowly he himself becomes petrified.
Yeah, I think that happened like overnight. It didn't take long for the...
Yeah.
They describe it later and tell you later that the reason you become petrified is because it takes the silicone out of your body.
Yeah, it absorbs all the silicone.
Right, so of course the silicone is what makes skin malleable and stretchy or whatever. So you become petrified and of course die.
Yeah, and it goes on through, you know, different things throughout the film, like a little girl on a field trip takes a piece back to her house and leaves it in a tub of water outside. Her mom won't let her bring in. And then I forget how they had, but somebody goes out to the, I guess the teacher goes out to the house with the geologist and all this. And when they get there, the house is totally demolished. And like the rock, it's like boulders or these black rocks have fallen on it and grown up through it. It's creepy as hell looking.
It really is. I mean, and they grow, they don't just grow out. It's like they grow tall. So it's like an obelisk.
Well, it's a monolith.
It's a monolith. Yes, it is.
Hence the clever title.
Indeed. So it grows tall and it becomes so heavy under the weight of itself that it falls over and then it breaks and all of those pieces start to grow.
Yeah. And they only grow, though, when with water.
Right.
So fresh, don't get them water. Wet and don't feed them after midnight, right? Oh, no. Sorry.
You got it.
Yeah. Fresh water. When, you know, water hits them, you know, it makes them grow. And that's the creepy thing about it is they grow up in their own weight. They collapse and then they break into 100 other pieces and those 100 other pieces grow and then collapse.
Yeah. And by and grow, break. I mean, these things grow fast with water. As long as is water supplying them, they are growing and it's really quick.
And they grow, I mean, huge. I don't know. They never say how tall, but you can see it's like 2 or 3 stories tall, some of them.
Oh, probably even taller than that. Yeah. I mean, when you compare it to the farmhouse it grows next
that's
to,
true.
It's like a skyscraper.
And going through that valley.
Yeah.
And they collapse and they move forward. Every time they collapse, they're moving forward.
Yep.
And it's nothing. The creepiest thing about it is that you can't reason with it. You can't stop it. You can't shoot it. You know, it's not like a monster where there's some kind of, it's a rock. You might as well be talking to a rock. Well, here you go. This is it right here. And it's moving forward and there's nothing you can do except run away. And it's coming slowly for you. It's creepy as hell.
It really is. You know? I mean, in the way the big part of this is that they're in like a valley, and I guess there has been a dam, you know, put, so there's no river going through the valley. So the natural terrain or the natural topography is going down. So of course,
and it's leading
the monoliths
the
are going
like a hallway, kind of leading. The monoliths are growing and falling through this valley towards the town.
Right. So in this case, it's like it has nowhere to go except right to the town that's in the valley. And of course, you know, the implication is that it's going to go beyond that. It's going to grow past, it's going to kill the town.
Yeah. Once it gets out of that valley, then it would
all
go
over the world.
Every direction.
Or at least all over this continent.
Yeah. They find out eventually. When other people touch it, they become petrified at different rates. Some people it becomes faster, some people it's slower. And it never explains really that.
Yeah, they don't tell you that much.
Well, the first guy is completely petrified head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second one is a little girl, her arm is petrified. And later you see a woman, her hand is petrified.
Mm-hmm.
They discover this, it's silicone, so they give them a silicone injection mixed with other stuff, and it retards the growth. And I guess it takes it back, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, because the little girl lives. Spoiler for those of you going to watch this in a couple weeks.
Hey, either listen to this now and get interested or listen to this after you see it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that we have pretty much created a rule that we don't worry about spoilers and all that stuff for this.
Yeah, no.
We're just going to tell you. So if you don't want
to
know,
like it's a huge secret, and the movie's been around since 57.
Yeah, right? I don't think spoilers apply, thank you.
One kind of cool thing, though, they take the little girl, the local doctor in town, he's like, I don't know, you know, I'm sending her to L.A., mm-hmm. to the California Medical Research Institute. It's a fictional institute, but it's the same institute that was in Incredible Shrinking Man that he went to.
Cool.
Yeah, they use the same place.
So why is that? Is that something that, is it like the same director? Or?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the connections.
Okay.
Jack Arnold wrote the story Monolith Monsters.
All right.
Jack Arnold is the guy, the 50s, you know, sci-fi director.
Right.
Creature from Black Lagoon, Revenge of the Creature, It Came from Outer Space.
Okay.
Well, even High School Confidential that we talked about on an early podcast with Tony. Tarantula, I don't know if I said that, and he directed The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The lead actor in this, Grant Williams, was The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Right.
So I don't know if they did on purpose or they just said, here, use this name. We used it before, you know, or if they were like, hey, here's a neat connection.
That is cool.
And talking about the people that were in it, okay, Grant Williams, like I said, you know, Troy Donahue is in here somewhere at one of the guys that I didn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Les Tremaine, instantly recognizable in this. He was the general or one of the army generals in War of the Worlds.
Right.
But for any of us kids growing up in the 70s, he was Mentor driving the Winnebago on the Shazam Saturday morning TV show. Awesome, by the way. One guy, though, who's not in the credits, but you see briefly playing a meteorologist they call for the weather report.
Oh, right.
Yeah, William Shallert.
Mm-hmm.
William Shallert here, friends. that insurance commercial he used to do.
Yes.
But William Shatner, oh man, that cat all over the place. Patty Duke's dad in the Patty Duke show. He did a, you know, he was at the Tribble episode, Star Trek. He did, was on that. Tons of other stuff. My dad met him a few times some years ago. I think he was, came to Williamsburg, but one of the times that earlier times that I, we didn't go. Mm-hmm. But everybody says just the nicest guy. Real nice guy. Passed away a few years ago.
Oh.
Other than that, you know, not all. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. The narration at the beginning.
Oh, right.
Which is fantastic. It's one of those doom and gloom, this could happen to you narrations.
It's great.
Paul Frees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Frees is the guy who narrated everything back then. If it sounded like Orson Welles and it wasn't Orson Welles, it was Paul Frees. He has also a lot of cartoon voices. He was Boris Badenov. He was also Toucan Sam after Mel Blanc stopped doing it. He did Toucan Sam before Maurice LaMarche took over. And he, Boo Berry. Paul Frees was Boo Berry. And he was also the Burgermeister Meisterburger.
Oh, no.
In Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Yes, he was. But Paul Frees got one of those unmistakable voices there. I was listening to the narration and going, oh, man, I was just drawing a blank. I knew the voice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that narration just sets the tone for the whole movie and you're buckling in. I'm ready. Let's go. You know?
Yeah.
Speaking of that opening though, where the meteor crashes.
Yeah.
I just found out doing a little research for this, that meteor crash, that footage
mm-hmm.
was alternate take footage from It Came From Outer Space. They didn't use.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So they, you know, recycle, man. I mean, use what you can.
Saving money where you can too there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jack Arnold, going back to him for a second, man, you know, he stayed directing, though, up through the 80s. He died in 92, and he directed everything, TV in the 60s and 70s, episodes here and there,
mm-hmm.
you know. He even directed 2 episodes of Holmes and Yo-Yo.
I don't even know if I know what that is.
You're better off. Holmes and Yo-Yo is a show. It's one of those notorious, oh my God, shows. In the 70s, it was maybe lasted a season. John Shuck, character actor, you know, there'll be no peace long as Karka's alive. You know, he was that mm-hmm, Klingon.
Right.
He played Yo-Yo, a robot cop detective
okay.
who he looked like a human, except he'd open his shirt and it was like circuitry, you know, under his shirt and like a tape recorder, you know. And there was another cop detective was his partner. That was the show.
Well, apparently.
And wacky shenanigans.
They've done that a couple times, that particular plot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They've recycled it and updated it and had better effects. But this was a comedy.
Yeah.
You know, Holmes and Yo-Yo.
Holmes and Yo-Yo. Yeah. I'm learning something new.
So, Jack Arnold, and you're not better off for it. But he directed a couple episodes of that. And one of the last things he did, he directed 8 episodes of Love Boat.
Oh.
Yeah, which ran through 84, really. I didn't remember. Well, I didn't really care that it ran however long it ran.
You like Yo-Yo, or
Yo-Yo?
No, you like Love Boat.
Oh, I love Love Boat, Vance. Yeah, I watch the hell out of those now, yeah. But yeah, Jack Arnold, though, I mean, he stayed working, man, you know, up until, I guess he couldn't work anymore.
Right.
But he wrote the story for this, and he also wrote the story for Tarantula, which you won't watch.
I've seen it, but I don't necessarily need to see it again. And not because it's a bad film, but because I hate spiders.
She was getting ready to say a bad word.
Yeah. I am not a fan of spiders for no apparent reason. This fear is completely illogical. It's not like I've ever had a bad spider run in. I just am terrified of them.
It's because you're a girl.
No, it's because I don't like spiders. If they want to live outside where they're happy, they can live there. I just don't want them near me.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Now, another thing, I found uncredited in this,
mm-hmm.
some of the music, Henry Mancini, who did the Pink Panther. And countless other, you know, music for films and stuff.
Mm.
But he did some of the music, and now I got to go back and watch it and listen to the music.
Listen to the music again. Yeah, you know, actually, the music didn't stand out to me in this one. And we talk about that from time to time in the stuff that we've discussed, how the music sometimes helps or doesn't,
yeah,
or whatever.
I noticed it. I mean, it had some nice, you know, dun-dun.
Yeah, I did notice
suspenseful
that.
Stings.
Yeah.
But
there wasn't anything like really standout-ish to me. There were a couple of moments where there was goofy little do-do-do-do, you know, kind of things that I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. But then it didn't stand out anywhere else.
Yeah.
But I'm curious. I'll have to watch it again. Well, we will be watching
it again, we'll be watching in a couple weeks. With a crowd, hopefully.
Yes.
And you can find out more information about that Phantasmo Cult Cinema Explosion on the Phantasmo Cult Cinema Explosion Facebook page. Yes. Go check it out. Have all updates on any new stuff we're doing with that and appearances and film showings that we do.
Yeah.
And speaking of film showings, Monolith Monsters, the one we're talking about right now. Trying a lame segue there.
Yeah, not so
You know, a lot of the exteriors for this were filmed out at Lone Pine.
Yeah, well, I did recognize that.
Where?
I'm too proud.
Oh, well, yeah. Lone Pine in California is where they filmed tons and tons of westerns. It's just a great desert location with, you know, hills and mountains and then a lot of flat land. They have a Lone Pine Film Festival out there every year. A lot of cowboy enthusiasts go out there. And it's a big convention, and they go out to the sites and see the different locations and stuff. My folks go. It seems like a really good time, you know, because a lot of other science fiction stuff was filmed out there, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, that, of course, is what we're more interested in, but it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing this one again, actually, because I haven't watched it. I haven't seen it in a long time. And watching it the other night, you know, we're just sitting there watching it, specifically to talk about it for the podcast,
right?
And there were some things I noticed and some things that I going thinking about it, I'm like, man, I need to see that again to make sure that's what I, you know, what I saw or how cool that was,
right?
But yeah, the creep factor of it though, I can't say enough about that, because it's one of these almost a throwaway B picture.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be creepy at all. It doesn't seem like there's going to be suspense. I mean, they're rocks, for God's sake.
Yeah, the plot is giant rocks are coming to get you. And it sounds dumb.
It does.
And, you know, there's not outstanding acting in it. I mean, there's nothing that draws you in. You know, it's not the greatest picture.
But I didn't think anybody was bad in it either. No, I mean, there were just no moments. There was nothing in this that lent itself to have, like, great outstanding acting, but everybody was solid.
Yeah, there's no serious super drama moments, except the situation itself, and that could have been probably a little more intense,
maybe,
you know, with different actors, maybe, you know, the script and the dialogue isn't all that great, to be honest, but the concept, and when the monoliths showing what they do. Mm-hmm. And the aftermath. At first, you just see the aftermath. You don't see him grow. And that's kind of creepy, especially that first part with the farmhouse. Because you see the girl, she washes her hands, and she drops the thing in the tub and goes inside. And then you don't see anything else until later they come back and it's all done.
Right.
And you see what happened in that farmhouse. And it's just like, I mean, like, desolate. Like a hurricane came through there. A tornado came through. It's just completely demolished by these black rocks that have grown up through it and fallen on it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the rocks growing looked really cool.
Yeah, it did look cool.
It didn't look cheesy. It wasn't stop animation. I don't know what they did.
I mean, you can tell when it's the long shots in the desert. You can tell it's a miniature.
Yeah.
You know, it's a miniature desert
set. But
it
looks good.
But it looks great. The detail's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it looks on film, you can tell. But the coolest thing about it is you can tell it's real, though.
Yeah.
It's something really there. It's not CGI cartoon where everything is seamless and perfect and smooth looking.
No, it's real. You know, you can see it's happening. It was really cool looking.
Yeah, and they do look cool because they grow. It's like black crystals almost, the way they're shaped and the way they grow. And they crack and they just crumble. And it's like, oh, shit, there's more coming. Mm-hmm. And then they start growing all those pieces, you know. This is one of those that they could do a remake of.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be pissed about it. It wouldn't hurt me. I wouldn't hurt my feelings, because if it was handled right, it could be really intense and really
I doubt that anyone in Hollywood would ever think, let's make Monolith Monsters right now.
Oh, no.
But.
And if they did, they'd probably screw it up.
Yeah, there would be lots of other weird plot points or something that are pointless. But anyway.
Yeah. But it's that, you know, total hopelessness. Of the situation that gets me about
it's like
it.
All you can do is sit there and watch your doom coming at you, you know, abandon the place. What do you do?
Yeah,
you know?
And run the other way. Now they find out, here's how they, you know, they eventually stop them.
Yeah.
They figure out,
wait, before you get to eventually stop them, we never really said that things are crazy and chaotic, because like the very night
there's
they discover
a storm front's coming,
so of course it's raining. insane rain. I mean, it is pouring down for hours.
And that's why the monolith are from way out in the desert are making their way towards the town.
Yeah.
Is the rain. And then they get a break in the rain, but it's going to start up again.
Right. Well, and not even that, but, you know, I'm sure people have figured out that once it rains, the water goes somewhere, so it's soaking into the ground, and the rocks are in the ground, and so it's soaking up the water.
Yeah, they're
from
soaking
the ground.
Up the ground and the silicone from the ground.
Yes, it's just crazy.
Yeah, so
that's why it becomes such a pressing issue.
Yeah, after the rain, even after the rain stops, the monoliths are still growing. Well, they're pulling the water from the ground,
right?
So, you know, they're unstoppable at this point. Well, through I think it's an accident. Did they find out by accident?
Yes.
Anyway, they find out that salt, because it absorbs the water and stuff.
Well, yeah, it's drying.
And it's dry, it's a drying agent, you know. Salt will stop them. And they're
so salt water.
So salt water. Well, and they're at, it's a, like a dry riverbed because of the dam, I guess, or not
yeah,
even not
yeah,
a riverbed.
Well, they had, right, there was
flats.
A dam. Yes.
There's salt flats between the town and the desert.
Yeah.
So what they decide to do is they, you know, blow the dam,
blow the dime,
which will follow the trail of the salt flats, but right on the outskirts of town.
Yes.
And go down that bed and churn up all the salt that was in the ground, the salt flats. And hopefully, knock on wood, the salt water will stop the monoliths, will counteract the silicone,
right.
The silicone suckers. that's what they would call if they remade it.
Silicone suckers. Well, and it wasn't, apparently once the rocks have been immersed in salt water, then they become inert. It's not like washing them off with fresh water would then make them grow again.
It
kills whatever's in it that lets it grow.
Yeah, it kills it and stops whatever, yeah, the reaction that causes it to drink or eat,
yeah,
for lack of a better word.
So let me tell you that when we were watching this and you see the water, and it goes on for quite some time, watching the water go through the canyon or whatever,
yeah,
and you see the piles of salt, and I don't know why, but in my head I thought that cannot be enough salt for all that water to actually do what it needs to do, but apparently it is.
Well, it's in the ground and on the ground,
yes,
the whole way down.
I know,
granted,
I'm just being skeptical.
I'll give you that. It didn't show enough of that. I'm thinking that when you saw the water and the dust flying up,
yeah,
that was salt.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're right.
That's what that was probably
we'll
supposed
go with
to be.
So immerse them in
yeah.
the valley in salt water, and then they will die. And it appears to work.
Yeah. Now, granted, I do think that could have been shown a little more,
mm-hmm.
more the salt churning up, or more of it being, because in black and white it was hard to see.
Yeah, I guess just to make sure that you get the impression that this is really what's going on. I mean, they tell you what they're going to do, so maybe it doesn't matter. But
yeah,
in any case, it happens. But I do wonder, that just put salt water on it, stopped them in their tracks there, but what about the other direction? It started back at the meteor.
Shh.
So is that still growing?
Shh.
Don't think about that part.
Don't think about that.
Okay.
Well, they were falling in this direction, not that direction.
Yeah, but it's gonna grow.
Yeah, don't take a bucket out there and throw some salt.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I kind of thought about that while we were watching it, and then I got distracted. Something, I guess we were talking.
Yeah.
But yeah, what about the other direction or side to side? Did they go that way?
I mean, I get that they mostly went that way because that gravity, it was going downhill or whatever. Whatever. Okay. It did that.
It wasn't going downhill. It was a desert, Phyllis.
Well, but it's a valley. It was going through the valley.
Okay. It was going downhill.
But yes, it was mostly desert there, and pretty, I don't know if it was, it wasn't flat, there were hills, but in any case, there's more. They got to go take care of it. Maybe they'll fill up fire trucks with salt water.
Well, why not? Makes sense.
We'll just go with it.
Yeah.
Let it happen.
Shh, just let it happen. when we were watching, I'm looking at the final scene where they're all standing there just watching what's coming, and it's like, man, that's Andy, and there's Barney, and there's Otis. Well, the little town was like Mayberry.
Yeah,
there was a sheriff and the geologist, and then there's Les Tremaine in the white suit. Was like, well, Otis always wore a white suit and a hat. But I was trying to see, too, if that town, because you only see, like, one street mainly most of the time. Yeah. I was seeing if that was the same street that was used and everything, which a lot of times it is. You know, yeah. They just redress it.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell just watching it. So, hey, if you can tell, yeah, drop us a line at phantasmoafterdark@gmail.com. That's phantasmoad. phantasmode@gmail.com, or drop us a line there on the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page. It's free and we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, and you know, hey, and let us know if you like this movie too, if you've ever seen it, or if you're looking forward to seeing it, or if you've got any other thing to say, if you want us to shut the hell up, or if something else you'd like for us to talk about, please join us, won't you? You know, I did find something online when I was doing some research on this. Somebody actually built a model kit. I don't know if it was a garage kit or a scratch built or whatever, but with the monoliths and a couple of them falling, I think it was like a little car. It looked pretty cool. But no, there was not any merchandise out for this movie.
Maybe they should have. Wasn't there some kind of little science kit you could get as a kid that would grow? Do you remember what I'm talking about? These little rocks that grow?
Now you could get magic rocks. Which would grow in like a water solution.
Yeah.
And then I think there was other things. I don't know if it was a kit that would grow crystals.
Yeah.
But I know there was science experiments you could do to grow crystals. And you mix up something with, I don't know if it was salt or sugar, I think, and water and something else. And you hang something like a bolt or something from a string in the water solution. And you come back in a couple of days and crystals have grown and formed on it.
They should have done that. They missed out on some merchandising opportunity.
I'm going to look that up.
Yes, you are, for Phantasma.
I'm going to look that up and figure out how to do it and put some black food coloring in the water so I can grow monoliths instead of clear crystals.
We need to grow monoliths now. Oh, the things we do.
Yeah.
We're easily amused.
Well, you know, it doesn't take much. Doesn't take much. you know, there's really not a whole lot more to talk about this movie. It's just a fun little movie.
It is.
You know, and it's one of those I'll watch again over and over. Not the kind of, gotta sit down and watch it.
No, you don't have to pay a super lot of attention to it. I mean, you do have a few questions. How does it turn you to stone? Well, they tell you. It's not a big secret. They let you know. You know, how do you kill it? They figure that out.
Yeah.
How's it grow? Well, they know that.
But if you're looking for something different, than the typical, you know, old black and white sci-fi fare with, you know, a monster and a UFO and an alien creature coming down. This one's a little different. It's along the vein of like The Blob, you know, where it's this object, this inanimate, almost lifeless type object that is coming for you and there's nothing you can do.
Right.
And I highly recommend watching it.
Yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed it. Hopefully it will go over well in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we will see. I mean, you know, it's black and white. It came out in 1957. You like black and white movies.
Mm-hmm. It's available now on DVD.
DVD, yeah. We got it in a, you can get it into, it's on Blu-ray, actually.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you can get it on Blu-ray and you can get it on DVD. We got it in a couple of DVDs. It's got Monolith Monsters, Incredible Shrinking Man, Monster on Campus, Tarantula, and The Mole People, I think, all in this one, multi-DVD set, which is incredible, by the way, to get all that in one set.
I mean, the quality's good. It's not terrible.
No, it's a nice print. Mm-hmm. It's not like it was, you know, just recorded right from a VHS print. Right. It's nice and clean and crisp. I imagine the Blu-ray is that much better.
Well, of course, but, you know, it's good.
Yeah, I'd love to see it on Blu-ray. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this on the big screen.
With some people.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed.
So, this is, here we go. This is another short one. And check us out again. Not sure what we're gonna do. You know, we could do The Beast Within.
Maybe. Or if there are any wonderful suggestions out there, then let us know.
Because that's gonna be the next episode will be before the next Phantasmo at the library.
Oh, well, maybe we'll see. Stay tuned to the next one.
Yeah, and tell a friend, won't you? So, anyway, that's all for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we will be back, in 2 weeks with something cool, and we'll talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.
Good night.